podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Blue Moon. You saw me standing alone.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair, and that is what you call a good weekend for Manchester City. City win, they give Rodri a rest and score five. At the same time, Arsenal and Liverpool both lose at home. City now 2 points clear with just six games to go. Oh, and Stretford can only draw with Bournemouth, and that makes them, I think, 23 points behind City. We've got a Champions League quarter-final second leg and an FA Cup semi-final in the next few days. What a time to be a City fan. Well, my guests this week are full of wit, intelligence and insightful comment, and we've got Spencer Debson as well. Welcome to the wonderful Sarah Messenger. Is it wit you're full of? Is it intelligence? Where do you come, do you think, Sarah, in the pecking
the list
order?
The list is endless, Nigel, but I like those for starters. But hello, nice to be here.
And also, welcome to Tony Newgrush, who ticks all of those boxes, I know, every time.
Full of wit, it's been said before. Yes, Nigel.
Very good. And Spencer, you were banned a few weeks ago, which is why I picked on you this week. But you're back. You're back. What happened? We must
Thank
be
Nigel.
Sure.
I'm on best behaviour tonight, Nigel. Best behaviour.
Listen, let us start, please. Spencer, you kick off for us. Good to have you back, my friend. Let's see. Wasn't a bad weekend, was it, to be a Blue this weekend?
Oh, my word. I mean, it just got better and better, isn't it? I mean, we don't want to celebrate the indiscretions of the opponents, but my goodness, we had an amazing midweek game. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute. It is tactically better, isn't it, to play at 12:30 on a Saturday, have a thumping win there. Rodri got his rest, as you said, and then settle down for another couple of games that with very unexpected results. I mean, blimey, you would not have anticipated that for Liverpool and Arsenal. But it just meant that the weekend got better and better. And I don't know about your Saturday night, but if it's been bad for our team, I'm a bit grumpy. But it's one of my happiest Saturday nights out for a long, long time. It was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, I'm in bed. I get the train back. I'm straight to bed. Spencer, at my age, obviously, I don't sort of burn the candle at both ends like you continue to do. It's all right for you young people. It's fine. Talking of young people, Sarah, your reflections on the weekend before we get into a bit of detail.
Well, Spencer summed it up perfectly, hasn't it? I mean, the most I hoped for from the two games yesterday was at least one of them to end in a draw, which at least put us ahead of one of the teams on points. For both of them to end in defeats was, well, it was Christmas, you know, every celebration you can imagine all came at once on one day. It also just proves what we've talked about many times on this podcast. It ain't over till it's over. We need to be careful we don't get too cocky and complacent, because we've got two or three tricky games, and even the ones that don't look tricky on paper can often prove to be. So I'm definitely not assuming this means we're going to win the league. But I know for sure with six games to go, I'd much rather have the two-point lead than be 2 points in arrears. So, a delicious weekend, I think.
And before we kicked off, Tony, Rodri had already sort of come out and said he needed a rest, which Pep kind of offered him. So we knew he wasn't playing. It always worries me, of course, when that happens, because we kind of do know that we certainly don't lose very often when he's playing, but we can lose when he doesn't play. So that worries me slightly. Secondly, Luton Town kind of fighting for their lives, as we know, and had a reasonable run the last couple of weeks and looked as though they were starting to string a few performances together. And six changes as well, I think, was it, as well, from the midweek game, which we know we're going to come on to as well. So a lot going on there. And yeah, obviously we can look back at it now, knowing that we got ourselves over the line. But that first half wasn't straightforward, was it? Loads of chances. And was it going to be one of those games where an early goal, but we didn't put the game away? And you do worry on the break. I've said it many times before, we can be a bit vulnerable. It was not straightforward, was it, that first half?
No, it certainly wasn't. And, you know, you score after, what was it, 90 seconds or so with an own goal, a lovely headed finish, I thought. And you think this could be an absolute sackful, and it didn't happen. And full credit to Luton. You know what? Arsenal came to our place and they behaved. I was appalled by the way Arsenal played. And I do hope they lose the league by 2 points. They didn't have the courage to try and win. Luton, they gave it a go. They didn't just waste time. They didn't resort to dark arts. And they lost. They lost fair and square. They were an absolute credit to the Premier League, and I hope they're staying there. So, yes, it took a fantastic goal from Kovacic just to calm those nerves. In the end, it was a comfortable victory. And as you say, ticked all the boxes, no injuries, players rested, 3 points. And my best hope for the weekend, Sarah, was just to narrow the goal difference a little. Well, it got a damn sight better than that, didn't it?
And Sarah, in terms of the performance, we'll get into a little bit more detail, but just sticking with Luton, something that my mate Rog, who sits next to me, pointed out, and I took a photo, I tweeted it actually, and I think more than one person liked it, I think, from memory, but was this fact that you kind of could put a blanket over the penalty box and every single one of the Luton players was in that penalty area a lot of the time. So they defended in numbers, but it's unusual to have all 11 in the penalty box at the same time. It happened a lot.
It did. I was one of the three people that liked that tweet, Nigel. So
excellent.
Me, your wife and one of your children have all got something in common. well, I mean, I think the reality is City are very used, aren't they, to playing against what now is called a low block. We used to say it was getting everyone behind the ball, didn't we? But we've got to have new terminology because we're in the 21st century. What else do we expect Luton to do? I think, you know, the reality is City have got better players, or you've got a better coach. We're used to winning trophies, and we've had plenty of practice at breaking down teams that sit, you know, you're not usually 11 behind the ball, quite often 10, and certainly not 11 in the penalty area. That was quite unusual, I think. Although I actually think that helps you. I think if you can get 11 in the penalty area, there's always a chance of ricochets or a mistake that leads to a goal. It's the low block when they're in their own half, but not necessarily all in the penalty area, that we seem to struggle with a bit more. But I just think, you know, any team is entitled to play as they do when they come to the Etihad. We are a pretty formidable place to come. I think Tony's right. I think Arsenal let themselves down when they came to the Etihad. It could have been a great game. It wasn't, because of the way they played. Arsenal, I don't think, should play like that. But Luton, who can blame them?
Can I talk about some of the positives then, Spencer? Can we sort of start with some of the positives? And there were plenty. I've talked about that first half, but looking back on the game as a whole, we've mentioned Rodri missing. And that's always a concern. But actually, a number of players did step up, didn't they? Well, I've got a list here of stuff, but I'm not necessarily going to lead you. You tell us from your perspective, what were the positives, either sort of practically, tactically? Who stood up for you and who stood out for you in terms of good performances that helped make this sort of get, you know, a 5-1 victory against a team that's got 11 players in the box most of the time is a pretty good performance in anybody's language. Who stood out for you?
Well, I mean, I've got three names that I think really stood out, just to answer the question directly. Of course, Doku will come to talk about with his flair, because he clearly had a great game, and it was good to see, I'll say, a return to form for him. But it was good to see some of the flair of the play that we saw in his early moments with City. He looked really confident. He just had them all over, didn't he? The penalty, you know, that he won. Lovely finish for the goal. And the assist for Guardiola, I think, at the end. Second player, yeah, Guardiola. I mean, he really looks like a tidy player, doesn't he? I mean, we knew he was. We saw him at the World Cup. Just because Messi turned him inside out doesn't make him not a good player. But he's got flair as well as the defensive capabilities. Two cracking goals. I mean, the goal against Luton was excellent. The goal against Real, well, it came off a poor touch, didn't it? But what a finish. And he seems to be, you know, his left foot's right foot. I mean, he just was excellent. But I think the main standout in a way against Luton for me was Kovacic. I think a player who has continued to grow into the role. I mean, we mustn't forget this player has, I think he's won the Champions League 4 times. He's a seasoned pro. That's why we bought him. Had a bit of a whinge at the beginning when he came in, didn't he? Because he was sort of dribbling and, you know, was getting used to it. But I think he's grown game after game into becoming really important for City. And it was brilliant to see a game where Rodri was not playing. And we know our ratio of defeats to victories when he's not there ain't good. But I thought himself, Nunes, who continues to develop, that's maybe another story. But KDB, obviously, it's great to see him back on the pitch. But no, Kovacic, I thought, really held that centre together really well. And I, you know, was fundamental to a great performance.
You've named four of my five, so well done. You get a special prize for that. I know that the others will obviously fill in the gaps for you that you failed to get to. And you're right, I think we should come back to Nunes, because I think he's a bit of a Marmite character, I think. You know, there are those that kind of recognise him as being a talent and give him time, and others have kind of almost given up. So let's have a separate conversation about him, because I think he's an interesting player. Sarah, there's four there for you, and I agree with all those. Please feel free to fill in any gaps in terms of those four and see if you can fill in the gap of the fifth one that Spencer failed to do, which is not unusual for him. I'm surprised he's back, to be honest, this week, because he's always been such a big disappointment to me in so many ways.
Is there a prize?
No, there's no prizes here. No, it's all done on a budget, this, as you probably realise.
Let me come. I'm not sure I have got the fifth one that you were going to mention, but I'm sure Tony has. So I'll leave that job to Tony. But just to build on what Spencer said, because I think he picked the four players that I would have picked, and I think that you're spot on with it. The one I just want to say something about was Nunes, because Nunes is going through a period at the moment where any City fans born after the year 2000 are all having a right old moan at him. And it slightly irritates me, but, you know, that's the way of the world. But it also just reminds me, and I've made this point many times, but I'm going to make it again, of how many players we've moaned about in their first season who've ended up being great players for us. And I trust Pep and the recruitment team's judgment. Obviously, we've got the blip with Phillips, but I think there's stuff going on with Phillips that goes beyond football. But generally, they've always come good. Guardiola's a good case. He's coming good this season rather than having to wait till next season. But I think that Nunes had a much better game on Saturday. I don't think he was perfect, but I think he had a better game. And what he needs now is one of his dynamic runs into the box to result in a goal, get his confidence up, and I think he's going to be a really good player for City. So I think I just wanted to do a few positive words about Nunes rather than always getting on his back, because he might end up being another Bernardo Silva. Who knows?
Yeah, and there are those, as we know, we've got our own WhatsApp group, us Man City Show podcasters, and someone whose name will remain nameless, but it rhymes with Rob Behrens, has been pretty supportive. Rob's been really supportive of Nunes and called out a number of people who have been criticising. It's kind of saying similar things to you, Sarah, in terms of, you know, he hasn't had much game time either, has he, to be fair? But a lot of people already, not just on the podcast, but in other social media, are being really quite critical. Tony, have you checked the chat in terms of me giving you a clue as to who the player is I was talking about, or have you come up with it yourself? And what about, I can't see what you've written.
Yeah, no, Rico Lewis.
Yeah, that's him. That's the boy. That's who I had on my list as well. He's a good lad, isn't he?
He's a cracking lad, isn't he? A Manchester boy. He's a great professional for his age as well, isn't he? Shows a lot of maturity. He comes in, he does a cracking job. I think he's just a victim of his own success to a certain extent, insofar as is he a fullback or is he a midfielder? And I just hope he's not the next Zinchenko, as it were, in that role. I hope he's more the next Phil Foden, who is given time to develop as a youngster, and we just calm things down as far as expectation, and he grows into the next generation of brilliant Manchester City footballers. But no, it's good to see him, and it must be frustrating that he doesn't get his chance more often. His time will come, I'm sure.
And what about Nunes then? Obviously, Sarah's kicked off, given us her view. Where do you sit on this one? Because I've described him as a bit of a Marmite character. Where are you with Nunes?
Yeah, I see both sides. It is a little frustrating at times, but it must be so hard. He comes in for the odd game, he doesn't get a run, and he's under the microscope, and he makes one mistake, and he doesn't play again for a few weeks. So it's very difficult, but I've seen enough from him this season to suggest he does have a future with City. I think he was, you know, he's trying to replace Gundogan to a large extent as well, I think, in that midfield, which is no easy role to fill. So, you know, I'm more than happy to give him another season and see how he develops. I know there's been some other names thrown around as to midfield signings, but there's definitely ability there. And yeah, he was a bit unlucky with the goal we conceded on Saturday. It made him look slightly foolish, I guess, but we play such a percentage game, a high percentage game, don't we? The slightest mistake when we're passing it out like that, and it will happen. Well, he will learn, I'm sure, and I think he's bided his time, and I hope he gets his chance in the future.
Spencer, your word on Nunes as well, then? Just
I mean, the guys have said it. I do agree with that. I'm with Rob and the guys here. You've got to give him more time. I mean, he's had very limited game time. He's clearly a very skillful player. I seem to remember David Silva back in the day. People were whinging at him for the first half season, at least. You've got to give him more time. It would have been nice if that shot that hit the post had gone in yesterday. Actually, that would have been good for him. But no, I think he'll come good. Very skillful player. I mean, remember we were going to sign Paqueta, weren't we? Who, if you really want to say, I think is a better player. But there was that issue. So it never happened. No, we've got to give Nunes more time.
And Spencer, do you want to sort of comment before we move on to the small matter of the Champions League second leg? And we can obviously talk about the first leg as well, because that's happened since we all got together as well, of course. But do you want to comment about any of the goals? We've kind of touched on the first goal already, which was before we do that, actually, in terms of that first goal, Haaland bearing down, yeah, with that amazing pass, not surprising from KDB, just for a bloody change. He's bearing down. Last season, he would have scored that. And I remember that first game away at West Ham, I was there, that first game he ever played,
I remember. Scored two, didn't
he? And it was, he scored two, and you just knew he was going to score. That was going to go in the back of the net. And do you know what? I thought, he's not going to score here. And there have been so many situations like that where, listen, the keeper did well, you've got to give him credit, came out, but the keeper did a similar job for West Ham in that first game of the season they ever played for us. So they're just, I don't know, is it a confidence thing? And again, it's a double-edged sword, because he's, just to finish the point, you know, he's still the leading goal scorer in the Premier League. He's still scored 20 goals. Yeah, he's hardly a League Two player, as somebody once said, I think. But it's still, he just doesn't seem to have that same confidence. He would have been burying those, and he doesn't. Am I being harsh?
Well, no, you're not being harsh. You're being accurate. I mean, is it confidence? I don't think so. And we can't put our finger quite on it, but it's definitely true to say that in one-on-ones with the keeper, and it's happened multiple times, he's not got that absolute level of assurance that he had. Of course, he's still scoring hatfuls of goals. I mean, the danger is that in the very tight games, you know, the really big semis, the final, the one chance, you know, those are the games. I mean, it's less important that he scores a hatful against other teams that we were going to beat anyway. But you're absolutely right. He lacks that clinical edge. He'll still probably end up being the league's top goal scorer. I couldn't tell you what it is. I mean, players are allowed to have a little variations in form, aren't they? I mean, he is a world-class striker. He can improve definitely on his other aspects of his game but the absolute finishing quality this season is a notch behind where it was last season. I think we could all agree that.
Sure. Tony, do you want to comment on any of the goals particularly? We've touched on Doku's, which, again, was a fabulous finish and a great run. Anybody else you want to kind of add to?
Well, we mentioned Kovacic as well, which absolutely magnificent finish. He had no time at all, and to pick out the top corner the way he did. So, yeah, some good goals there, I have to say. Really enjoyed Doku's as well, and I don't think 5-1 in the end flattered us. So that's 16 goals in four games. We've narrowed the goal difference at the top as well. So, you know what? It's looking not too shabby at the moment, isn't it?
It's 16-7, isn't it, of course, if you're going to get a full picture here, of course. So we have scored 16, but we've also conceded 7 as well, which, you know, still a bit of a concern, isn't it?
It's a little bit of a concern, but if you're scoring 16 at the other end, I guess it's not that much of a concern. Yeah, look, I think we do need to tighten up a little at the back. That's the only thing I think that could cost us. But the worry is if you're conceding and not being ruthless. And as we've said, I think it's not just Haaland, is it? I think we'd all acknowledge we've arguably still got another gear to go across the whole team. We've not consistently hit the heights of previous years. And yet here we are, dare we say, whispering that word, the treble again. So I'll take it.
We're not doing that. And I know that Sarah won't be doing it. So, Sarah, let's talk about Champions League as well now. And we can probably combine these two games together, because we haven't really talked very much about the first leg against Real Madrid last week. What a game that was, and some cracking goals as well. And I think we said in the podcast the week before we'd take a draw, which is what we've come away with. Cracking game for the neutral, some great goals, and beautifully set up for the Etihad this week.
I think that sums it up beautifully. I mean, a draw in at Real Madrid is, to be honest, at the moment, never a bad result. It's frustrating when you go ahead and you end up with a draw, but, that's been pernickety. I think what struck me about that performance, I know Pep said that, you know, 5 years ago we'd have lost 4 or 5-1, and I think he's probably right. But it was that actually, for most of the game, City may not have been in the lead, but they were in control. And there's never a point in that game where I thought, oh my God, they've got us under the cosh here. You know, they attacked pretty well, and particularly in the first half, but two lucky goals with both of the deflections. But particularly in the second half, I didn't feel panicked watching them. And, you know, as you know, most Manchester City fans are afflicted, or used to be afflicted, with panic. So that's what Pep's done to us. He's cured us all of that hideous panic and nausea that we used to feel in nearly 99% of games that City play. Now, that's not to say I was sitting there smoking my Hamlet cigar and just thinking this is a breeze. But they just play in a way in Europe now that gives me confidence that they know what they're doing. And I think to come away from there with a draw and put ourselves in a position where one good performance at the Etihad gets us through to the semi-finals is as good as we could have hoped for. So I was happy with that.
Can you still get Hamlet cigars? Are they still a thing?
I don't know. I've shown my age there, haven't I, Nigel?
I was going to say, I wasn't sure that I saw you as the Hamlet cigar lady myself, Sarah, but there you go.
And if you're not sure what a Hamlet cigar is, ask your granddad. He'll be able to tell you all about it. Let's, Tony, let's reflect on that first leg and also look forward to the second leg as well. On Twitter, we've had a question about Walker and how much you think he was missed in Madrid midweek. Do you think he was a miss? Do you think that was something that we look forward to? I think he might start actually this week. Actually, I think Pep's going to start him. Just a gut feel I have. I know he's not had much match time, but I think he's such a vital cog. I think he'd have him back in the starting lineup. So I think there's three questions there. You can pick anyone you like in any order you like, Tony.
Well, I was worried when Walker wasn't playing. It wasn't just Walker. We had, I think, three of our regular back five missing. I thought we were in for a real tough night, actually. And then great start, great free kick from Bernardo. Concede two. I mean, it's one thing to concede one deflected goal, to concede two in about 3 minutes. And I think, as Sarah said, though, this team has got a lot of maturity and steel about it. It would have been very easy to fold at that point, but we didn't. We performed absolutely magnificently. Let's not forget that was our third game in 6 days. Real Madrid hadn't played for 9 days. They could and should have taken us to the cleaners at that point, and they couldn't, because we just know how to get results. And I've had my doubts this season, but I have to say, I really think we are the real deal after that game. We were absolutely magnificent. Three fantastic goals, a fantastic match, fantastic refereeing, we should say, as well, Nigel, I thought. A spectacle for everyone. And I couldn't be prouder. And I'm just so looking forward to going up for the second leg. That's going to be another fantastic occasion. If it's half as good as the game last year, I think that was the finest game I've ever seen. So I'm excited for the game on Wednesday night, it is, isn't it? And yes, I agree. I think Walker will be back, because I think his pace gives us that extra insurance. I think Real look beaten already, to be honest. And unless Vinicius can pull something magical out of the hat, they are there for the taking based on last week.
Spencer, the real deal, I think Tony snuck in there and under the radar.
That was a very sneaky play on words, that was, Tony.
He doesn't normally do that, does he? He's not normally bright enough to even think about that.
I noticed that. Well, look, I'm going to throw something in here. I feel very confident about City's ability to close out the league now, but we have got 90 minutes of end-to-end football coming up on a one-time winner-takes-all game on Wednesday night, and I will be there. I'll be going up early on the train, so there's no cancellations. I will be there. But I think this is going to be a really tough game. Real, when they really break quickly. They break with great purpose, and I was absolutely bricking myself. I always use another word there, but I didn't. I restrained myself when we were 2-1 down, and we absolutely pulled the game back. Brilliant goal from Foden, amazing goal, and an amazing finish from Guardiola. Grealish played super well. So I'll always back City to do it, but I think it's going to be a really tight, tense game at the Etihad. And I just hope that we'll edge on the right side of it.
So we've got Sarah, we've got Tony saying Real are finished. You can see it in their eyes. Spencer is worried. He's bricking himself. Where do you sit? Final word on this before we look forward to another trip to Wembley and another FA Cup semi-final. Where do you sit on the Real? Are they the Real deal?
They're dangerous in attack, as Spencer says. They've got a threat with their pace, and Vinicius is a good player. But, I mean, midfield is pretty much spent, and their defence, if Rudiger's the best they've got, then they've got significant problems. In 90 minutes of football against a decent team, and they are a decent team, anything can happen. But we drew away last year, and none of us expected City to blow Real Madrid away in the way we did in the second leg. It may not pan out quite like that, but City should beat them. We're a much better team across the park. So I'm erring more towards Tony, but probably not quite as optimistic as he is.
And Sarah, in terms of changes, you can see another six changes, can't you? I think there's six players on the bench, if we're including Walker. I think we can see them all coming back, can't we?
Well, you can definitely see Walker coming back. Obviously, Edison will play, one assumes. Foden and Grealish will play.
Rodri.
And Rodri, so there's five.
Bernardo.
Bernardo, there you go. You didn't even need me, Nigel. You've answered your own question. Six of them. Yeah, there's six. Yeah. I guess there's a question around Aki or Guardiola on the left side. Guardiola's played really well recently, and Aki's obviously missed a few games. So it may well be that Guardiola gets the nod there with the insurance policy, hopefully, of having Aki on the bench. But yeah, I mean, I think he'll play a very similar team to the one he played last week, other than the obvious changes like Edison and potentially Walker.
Sure. Let's look forward then to another FA Cup semi-final, another trip to Wembley. Ticket secured. A bargain of £100 each. We'll talk about Champions League prices one day soon. You never know if we've managed to get through to the next couple of rounds, but there's no point doing that just yet. Spencer, semi-final. You worried about two ex-City players spoiling our party? Is that what it's all about? That's what I'm worried about.
I'm worried about my seat, Nigel, because I didn't pay £100 for my ticket.
I went for a posh seat, to be fair.
Oh, well, you're a posh fella. You have a posh seat.
I decided I didn't really want to stand up for 90 minutes or whatever. So I've got a posh seat. It's still with the City fans, but it's in a slightly posher area. I'm quite near the halfway line, I think.
Oh, well, I'm in the corner, so there you go. No, listen, I think it's going to be a great game. The problem with Chelsea is you don't know which Chelsea turns up, do you? Sometimes, I mean, for a third of the time this season, they look brilliant. We'll all remember the draw at Stamford Bridge earlier on, that epic 4-4 crazy game. So I don't know what we're up for here. I do think Chelsea have got that ability to turn it on somehow. If they're in the mood, when they are in the mood, they can be quite a threatening team. So it's going to be, again, I don't think there's going to be, you know, out and out clear winners. I think it's going to be another tight game. Can we do it? You know, performance after performance, you know, three days after the Real game to then turn up and put on a performance in a semi-final. We've done it before. We did it last season, didn't we? And apparently we're 9-2. With the bookies to do it again. So again, I'll back us for a win, but again, I think it'll be a tight game.
Tight game, Sarah, or in the bag? It's only Chelsea.
Well, I never want to say that something's in the bag. I mean, Chelsea are a mess, and I think the two best performances they've put up this season have been when they've played us. Most of the time, when I've seen them, they've had some potency up front and scored a few goals, largely down to Palmer. But as an organisational unit, they're a mess. So we ought to be reasonably confident about beating them on Saturday. But as Spencer says, you take into account the fact we've got a demanding game 3 days before. Chelsea have got some players with flair who can hurt us if they get a chance. So it's definitely not in the bag, but we ought to beat them because, again, we're a much better team. But we'll see what happens on Saturday, I guess.
And I guess, Tony, it does depend very much on what happens midweek, doesn't it? So if we get, you know, go to extra time and it's a grueling game and there's the odd injury, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But and he'll want to play his full strength squad there. Again, he might want to make some changes with the Premier League back on the following week. So there's a number of different things up in the air. It's not that straightforward, is it?
No, it'll be a great game. And it's nice in the sense that I don't think there's the animosity between City and Chelsea there is with other clubs. So I think it'll be a great positive atmosphere and one we can enjoy. But it's incredible, isn't it? Here we are, an FA Cup semi-final. And it's almost just an afterthought in the world of New City. I remember getting overly excited about an FA Cup quarter-final. I think we lost 9 on the trot, didn't we, in those dark and distant days. So I'm looking forward to it again. We are undoubtedly the better team, and it's just a case of proving it. And this is football, isn't it? Anything can happen. A silly red card, a dodgy penalty decision, and as we've said, Chelsea on the day can play very well, but if we bring our A game, we should be far, far too strong for them. So look, it's a huge week, isn't it? Bring it on. But fingers crossed, I think we're more than capable of winning both.
So let's have your predictions then. Let's start with you, Tony. So you're going for, if we just talk about the quarterfinal second leg and the semi-final of the FA Cup, with 2 wins for City. When we come back together, we're finalists in one competition, semi-finalists the other. Is that your prediction? 2 wins?
Typical City these days, 2 wins.
Sarah Messenger, 2 wins.
Indeed, 2 wins, absolutely.
And finally, Spencer Debson, 2 wins.
Rhetorical question, Nigel. 2 wins, no question.
Happiness is the cigar called Hamlet, and we are the real deal. Thank you to 2 of my amazing guests and to Spencer Debson. This is Nigel Rothband saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.